Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Prolific Fire. I'm your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to each of you on tonight, whether you're listening on the phone line, listening online, or listening on the podcast, listening on iTunes. Whichever way that the Lord has blessed you to listen on tonight, I pray that you be blessed. The first song I played for tonight to open us up was You're Bigger by Jacqueline Carr. The second song was Your Spirit by Tasha Cobbs Leonard featuring Kiara Sheard. With that being said, let's get right into it for tonight. To God be the glory.
God, I thank you for another opportunity, Lord God, to sit before your people to say what thus says the Lord, God. I thank you for what you're going to do in advance on tonight, Lord God. Thank you for the people, for the children, for the young people, for the kids that will be healed and delivered on tonight, Lord God. Thank you for snatching them back from suicide, Lord God, from suicidal tendencies, Lord God, for delivering our kids from depression, Lord God, and low self-esteem, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to undergird them with your strength and your power, Lord God, that they shall not die but live in the name of Jesus, God. I give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for what you're doing on tonight, Lord God. Use me, Lord God. Use me, Lord God. Move through me, Lord God. Sit me down and stand up mightily in me, Lord God. That every bit of the glory will go to your account. Not mine, but to your account. Because it's you. It's for you. To God be the glory. Amen. Tonight, the foundational text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. That's 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 6 from the CEV. Meanwhile, the Philistines were fighting Israel at Mount Gilboa. Israel's soldiers ran from the Philistines, and many of them were killed. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they were killed. His sons Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua. The fighting was fierce around Saul, and he was badly wounded by enemy arrows. Saul told the soldier who carried his weapons, "Kill me with your sword. I don't want these worthless Philistines to torture and make fun of me." But the soldier was afraid to kill him. Saul then took out his own sword. He stuck the blade into his stomach and fell on it. When the soldier knew that Saul was dead, he killed himself in the same way. Saul was dead. His three sons were dead, and the soldier who carried his weapons were dead. They and all his soldiers died on that same day. If you grew up in the 80s like I did, remember when we used to get all up in our enemy's face and say stuff like, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me." And we really mean it, because from there, they would call us names, and we would call them names right back without missing a beat. Remember those days? We would play the dozen like champions, creating a new your mama joke on the spot. And if punches were exchanged, we fought with our fists balled up, hit or miss. And occasionally, you'd see a girl fighting using wild, crazy swings, barely landing any of the swings. But, okay, she used wild, crazy swings. But, you know, whatever the preferred fighting method was, we went to the office, got expelled, or whatever the case. We faced our parents' consequences, even though we might have been deadly afraid of a whipping that we knew we were going to get for fighting. Still, we were tough, and everybody lived to see another day. Those were the good old days. Somebody, if you grew up in the 80s and you agree, say those were the good old days. We were tough. So why are our kids so sensitive? Why are our kids sensitive targets these days? Shouldn't they be even tougher than we were, considering they have more to contend with these days than we ever did? Shouldn't our kids be tougher than us if they have more to deal with than we ever did? Instead, they are sensitive targets. I don't understand. You would think that would be the case, right, that our kids would be tougher than we ever were. Instead, they get called names, and almost immediately, the devil, the enemy, steps in to steal, kill, and destroy, telling them that their only option is suicide. Immediately, the moment that they get called names, the devil just pounces right on in there and tells them, just like that, tells them that their only option is suicide, after which everything will be okay. Our kids have lost their will to fight. Our kids have lost their will to fight, their will to live. They have painfully succumbed to the notion that suicide is their only option, their only way out. It's sad, but it's true. The enemy has really done a number on the minds of our kids. The enemy has really done a number on the mind of our kids to the point that they can't stand to be made fun of, to the point that they can't take being made fun of. Our kids are in a world of trouble. Our kids are in a world of trouble because the enemy has them falling on their own sword. Our kids are in a world of trouble because the enemy has them falling on their own sword. Tonight's message. In tonight's foundational text, we see Saul and his men, along with his three sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua, out on the battlefield, and things quickly escalated from 0 to 100, to the point that Saul is badly wounded by enemy arrows and looking for a way out. And he makes a split-second decision to take his own life. Saul is out on the battlefield, and he's getting put bad. The enemy is tearing them up and tearing them up bad. He's stuck in a hard place. He's wounded. He's hurt. He's not thinking straight. And in a split second, he makes a decision to take his own life. Unfortunately, it's a decision many of our kids are making as well. Unfortunately, it's a decision that many of our kids are making as well. All across the country, they'd rather end their life rather than be made fun of one more second, one more day. Just like Saul, because in the text he told his servant, the soldier that carried his weapons, to kill him because he did not want the worthless Philistines to torture and make fun of him. So just like Saul, our kids have the spirit of Saul. They cannot stand to be made fun of these days. The enemy has just come after them, their heart. The enemy has come after their minds, their heart, that they cannot even stand to be made fun of, not even for a minute. As I said, unfortunately, it's a decision that many of our kids are making as well all across the country. They'd rather end their life rather than be made fun of one more second, one more day. Wounded by enemy arrows, our kids have no idea how to come against the fiery darts of the enemy. Wounded by enemy arrows, our kids have no idea how to come against the fiery darts of the enemy. Darts deliberately aimed at their young minds. Darts that are deliberately aimed at their young minds. Darts meant to break them down on the inside. And it's partially our fault. If I'm honest on tonight, it's partially our fault for neglecting to train up a child in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22:6, New King James. We just naively thought that because our parents didn't have to spend much time, if any at all, mentally training us up. They didn't have to spend much time mentally training us up. Physically, yes, but mentally, no. We just naively thought that because our parents didn't have to spend much time, if any at all, mentally training us up, mentally training our minds up, we don't have to either. That devil lied. But love, times have changed. Our kids need mental training. Our kids need mental training more so than the physical stuff these days. The Bible talks about how Jesus sent his disciples out into the world, wise as serpents, but as innocent as doves. Mark 10, verse 16, from the English Standard Version, the ESV. I just never thought this would one day be a verse that applied to our kids. But now that I think about it, they are the most innocent of doves. And it's up to us to make them wise or wiser than the serpent coming against them. As I said earlier, mentally train them up. Remember, it was the serpent that tricked Eve out of her home life in the garden in Genesis 3. And he's doing the same thing with our kids. Unsuspecting parents all across the country are walking in their child's bedroom to find them dead from a suicide attempt. A suicide attempt that subtly robbed them of their home life. That's because the serpent hates family. That's because the serpent hates family. If God loves it, the devil hates it. Automatically, if God loves it, the devil hates it, and he's doing everything he can to destroy it, and he will do everything that he can do to destroy it. And most of the time, all it takes is one untimely death, one heartbreaking suicide to severely damage a family. And most of the time, all it takes is one untimely death, one heartbreaking suicide to severely damage a family. Case in point in tonight's foundational text. One of Saul's sons died. Then another one of Saul's sons died. Then Saul's third son died. Followed by the death of Saul himself by the way of suicide. Can you imagine the damage done to that family when the news broke about the death of four of their loved ones? Can you imagine having to funeralize a father and his three sons, four of your loved ones, at the same time? Somebody listening, you don't have to imagine funeralizing multiple loved ones at the same time. It's unfortunately something you and your family have had to go through. It's unfortunate that you and your family had to go through it, but you don't have to imagine. You know exactly how it feels. And for that, I send my condolences. But I'm keeping it real all tonight because somebody needs this. A loved one, badly wounded, hurt physically and or emotionally, lost hope, and fell on their own sword, committing suicide. A loved one was murdered. Distracted by life. When the enemy can catch you distracted, that's when he makes a play for your head. When the enemy can catch you distracted, that's when he makes a play for your head. Whether you're a child, a teenager, and an adult, it works the same. When the enemy can catch you distracted, that's when he makes a play for your head, a play for your mind. When he can catch them distracted by peer pressure, distracted by the pressure to fit in, that's when he makes a play for their head, makes a play for the mental health of our kids. He makes a play for their head. He makes a play for the mental health of our kids. When he can catch you as an adult distracted by life's temptations or perhaps distracted by life's many responsibilities, that's when he makes a play for your head. Somebody, you're distracted by late fees, past due notices, and this is your last chance before we turn it over to the collection agency. You're distracted by all of that. You're distracted, and the devil has really made a play for your head. Beloved, before you give up and succumb to the thoughts in your head, you need to know that's the enemy's M.O. That is the enemy's M.O., his method of operation. His method of operation. Simply put, that's how he does it. He even tried this method on Jesus in Matthew 4. Jesus had been in the wilderness fasting for 40 days and nights. On his first day back, Jesus was hungry, and the devil thought Jesus would be so distracted by the growling of his stomach that he wouldn't be strong enough to fight back against the ideas being planted in his head. One of the ideas the devil tried to plant in Jesus' head would have been considered a suicide attempt if Jesus had succumbed to the thoughts and actually jumped. Reading from the Message Bible, Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7. For the second test, the devil took Jesus to the holy city. He set him on top of the temple and said, "Since you are God's son, jump." The devil goaded him by quoting Psalms 91. "He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't so much as stomp your toe on the stone." Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy. "Don't you dare test the Lord your God." First thing, notice how Jesus didn't get upset. He didn't get angry. Though the devil was literally telling him to jump, literally goading him with quotes from the Bible, still Jesus didn't get upset. Hear me real good. Now hear me. Because Jesus didn't get upset, because he didn't get angry, but was able to keep his head, the devil wasn't able to get in his head. I'll say it again. Because Jesus didn't get upset, because he didn't get angry, but he was able to keep his head, the devil wasn't able to get in his head. How to combat the fiery darts of the enemy. Number one, hard as it may be at times, don't get easily upset. Hard as it may be at times, don't get easily upset or angry over foolishness. Do not get easily upset or angry over foolishness. Don't get angry because the devil gains access inside your head when you get angry. Don't get angry because the devil gains access inside your head when you get angry. That's why the Bible says be angry, but sin not. That's why the Bible says be angry, but sin not. Ephesians 4:26, New King James. Number two, keep your head. Stay calm. The Bible talks about being even-tempered. It makes a lot of sense to be a person of few words and to stay calm. Proverbs 17:27 from the CEV. The New Living Translation says, "A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered." There it is, even-tempered. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. If you keep your head, if you stay calm, able to think, the devil won't be able to get inside your head. If you would just stay calm, keep your head and just stay calm, able to think, all while all of this is going on, if you're able to think, all while whatever's going on, if you're able to stay calm and keep your head and just think, the devil will not be able to get inside your head. These are the things that we need our kids to know. These are the things that we need our kids to know about combating the fiery darts of the enemy. Number three, cast down arguments and every hot thing that is also itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, New King James. But how do you bring a thought into captivity? I'm glad you asked. But love, before that thing gets too high up, embedded in the fabric of your mind, you immediately grab it and bring it down by resisting its authenticity. You grab it and bring it down by resisting its authenticity. You resist its authenticity by saying, "Oh, no, these are not my thoughts. Nor are these the thoughts of my God towards me. These are your evil thoughts intended to harm me, to steal, kill, and destroy me. But devil, you're a liar. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind, over my life, and my emotions. For it is written, Then you start sounding like Jesus, for it is written. Then you proceed to tell him what the Bible says, just like Jesus did in Matthew 4. If you read it from some other translation other than the Message Bible, it says that Jesus kept saying to the devil, it is written. Every time the devil would say something to him, he said, for it is written. And it completely shut the game down. He shut the enemy's game down, the game that the enemy was trying to play in his head by quoting the Bible. Every time he said something, he said, for it is written. Number four, you must know the Bible to speak the Bible. You must know the Bible to speak the Bible. So what does that mean? You must spend some time in the Word. In order to know the Bible, you must speak. In order to know the Bible, to speak the Bible, in order to speak affirmations that sound effective and not just sound good to your flesh, you must know the Bible in order to speak the Bible. You must know the Bible to speak the Bible. Don't just speak affirmations that sound good to your flesh. Speak affirmations that sound good and biblical and will do the job. But you must speak Bible-based affirmations that will tear the devil up and break the hold he's trying to have on your mind. Number five, do like Nehemiah. And this is my favorite because I love Nehemiah. Do like Nehemiah. When the devil used people to come up against him and try to plant all kind of crazy stuff in his head, Nehemiah looked and said, nothing like what you're saying is happening. I am doing a good work for the Lord, and I can't come down. Check out Nehemiah chapter 6. You see, the devil, the enemy, attacks the mind oftentimes to make you feel like what you're doing or what you're trying to do is somehow bad. The devil would attack your mind oftentimes to make you feel like the good that you're trying to do, the good that you're doing is somehow bad, that you're bad. These are the warfare tactics on how to combat the fiery darts of the enemy that we must teach our kids if we want them to live and not die in this day and time. These are the tactics on how to combat the fiery darts of the enemy that we must take the time to mentally train them up to live and not die in this day and time. I decree and declare that over somebody's life right now. But love, you shall not die, but live. Beloved, hear me. You shall not die, but live. Psalms 118:17. I got scripture on it. That you're not going to die, but you're going to live. Psalms 118:17. Saul in tonight's foundational text committed suicide, and his sons also died in tonight's text because they didn't have Jesus to call on. They died because they didn't have Jesus to call on. Saul committed suicide because he didn't have Jesus to call on. And it was their custom back then to fight. And it was their custom back then to fight things out with weapons. So much like what's going on today. It was their custom back then to fight things with weapons. So much like what's going on today. But the weapon of choice today is not a sword, but a gun. Remember, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. The things the devil is trying to attempt in the young lives of our kids is not new. The things that the devil is trying to attempt in the young lives of our kids are not new. It's not new. In the book of Exodus, remember, Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male babies under the age of two. Remember that Pharaoh wanted all the male babies under the age of two killed. So this idea of killing our kids young via murder or suicide is nothing new. While we can't control what someone else does, we can't control how we respond to it. The name calling, the psychological bullying, the mind games, the manipulation does not have to be accepted as true. The name calling, the sociological bullying, the mind games, the manipulation, all of that does not have to be accepted as true. Our kids does not have to accept any of it. We must teach our kids to embrace God's truth about them. We must teach our kids to embrace God's truth about them, not what someone else has said negatively about them or to them, not what someone else has said negatively about them or to them. We can't afford to let this continue to go on. We can't afford to let this continue to go on. Our kids are falling on their own sword, committing suicide. Think with me. Again, you know I like to make you think up of this fire. Think with me. If we allow this to continue, what will happen to the next generation? If we allow this to continue, what will happen to the next generation? Will there even be a next generation? It's time we undergirded our kids with power. It's time we undergirded our kids with power. Let's pray, because it was prayer that broke Peter free. Because it was prayer that broke Peter free in Acts chapter 12. And our kids desperately need some things to be broken. They need to be free from all of these spirits that's coming up against them. They need to be free. All these things coming up against their young minds. Young minds, their young immature minds, their young minds, period. They need these things to be broken, to be stopped. Father God, we pray over the life of every child 2 years old and up, both male and female, who the enemy has set out a suicide decree upon, trying to assassinate their young lives before they really have a chance to begin. We plead the blood of Jesus over every young mind that has been weakened by name calling, bullying, body shaming, etc. Father God, we ask that you break the stronghold, the mental stronghold the enemy has on the minds of our kids, on the mind of this generation. We ask that you break and totally destroy every weapon that has been formed against their self-esteem, designed to throw them into a deep depression, leading to suicide and the loss of life. We undergird our kids with strength to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy and come out unbothered. We undergird our kids with strength to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy and come out unbothered. In the name of Jesus, we come against it right now. Right now. Help them to stay calm under attack so the devil won't have access to their minds. Help them to stay calm under attack so that the devil won't have access to their minds, access to their heads, making a bad situation worse. That's all he comes to do, is make a bad situation worse, to steal, kill, and to destroy, to make a bad situation worse. So therefore, God, we ask that you help our children, help our kids to stay calm under attack so that the devil won't have access to their mind and have them doing stuff that they normally wouldn't do, stuff that's out of character for them. Help them to speak biblical-based affirmations and to never under any circumstances agree with the attack coming against them. They've done nothing wrong. They've done nothing to deserve the kind of attack that's coming against them. Help them to not agree with the enemy, God, but to resist, to speak against in the name of Jesus. Purge their self-esteem of every negative comment. Purge their self-esteem of every negative comment, of every evil action done towards them. We ask that you break the hands of their persecutor. Break the hand of their persecutor or persecutors. Devil, you will not continue to oppress our kids. Devil, you will not continue to oppress our kids in the name of Jesus. We come against you and we bind every attempt that you try to do, we bind it up and send it back to hell from which it came. We call for warring angels to encamp around them, to encamp around our kids, undergirding our kids with supernatural strength and power. We call for warring angels to fight on our kids' behalf so that they won't give up, lose hope in their lives, so that they will not feel alone. They will not feel like they don't have any other options, like no one cares. The devil is a liar. Revive family relationships, oh Father. Let daughters return back to their mothers. Let sons return back to their fathers. Bring mental clarity to every young mind struggling to understand. Bring mental clarity to every mind struggling to understand. Every young mind struggling in general. In Jesus' name, amen. This concludes the message on tonight. But if there's anybody under the sound of my voice and you're in need of prayer or Bible-based consultation, you can always call or text 865-408-8690. Again, it's 865-408-8690. Or you can email. Some people prefer to email. You can email prolificfire@gmail.com. prolificfire@gmail.com. However, if you're on the phone right now via Blog Talk Radio and you have a prayer request that's unrelated to what has been talked about and prayed about, will be sealed in prayer. If you have another prayer request that you need urgent help with, please press 1 on your phone at this time, and I will be glad to pray with you after these last few announcements. Give me a few minutes, but press 1 on your phone, and I will be right with you. Thank you. If you need this ministry's PayPal information or Cash App information, you can access the PayPal by going to paypal.me/prolificfire. paypal.me/prolificfire. Or going to the Cash App. It's the Cash symbol and Prolific Fire. Prolific Fire is written all together. The P is capital, and so is the L. As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Fire, on Instagram at Prophet Stacy, like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Also, if you need me, you can DM me on either one of those. People have started leaving messages on the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page as well, and that's fine. Basically, whatever social media site you're on, if I'm on there, you can leave me a message. That's fine. I will get back to you as soon as I can. On Twitter, again, it's Prolific Fire. Leave a message if you need to. On Instagram, it's Prophet Stacy. Leave me a message if you need to. Or do so on the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page, and also like that page. Join us. Just in case you don't get your prayer request in on tonight for whatever reason, there's always room for prayer. As I always say, there's room for prayer. So join us on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate for prayer and encouragement this Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, by calling the number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. That's 347-426-3782. Your prayer request will be taken then, too, if you don't get it in tonight. Then Friday is your second opportunity, so call in. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire, same night, time, and place, to hear another word from the Lord. Prophetess Pate will be with us, and she will be sharing a word of faith, giving us a lesson in faith. I cannot wait, because if you don't know, this coming up Monday, which is Memorial Day, that is my birthday, so we're going to have a party right here on Prolific Fire. And, of course, it wouldn't be a party without the Word of God. There's no gift greater than the Word of God. So if you need a word, don't fail to call in just because it's my birthday. We still going to have a word. There's always a word. So if you need a word, especially a word of faith coming from the woman of faith, Prophetess Pate, be sure to call in. It's my birthday. Call in. Next Monday, I will see you all Friday for prayer, and then Monday. Going once, going twice before I hang up. Is there anybody that needs prayer? So press 1 on your phone. And I will, as I said, be right with you. To God be the glory.
Well, I guess all prayer requests will wait till Friday. If that be true, I will see each of you Friday night. Have a blessed night, you all.